Okay, what are we doing? Oh yes, hi Tracy.
Hi Sharita.
Didn't see you there.
Oh my god. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Very welcome to another weekly episode of Docs That Rock.
That's correct.
We review documentaries on a weekly basis, and this week we're going to review Abducted in Plain Sight.
Abducted in Plain Sight.
A very boring documentary. Twice. Nothing happens in this documentary.
This is a leveler, isn't it? It really is. Now, before we get into that.
Yes.
How was your week?
Reverse. Well, this weekend was the rally in Galway.
Oh.
Which, I don't know, is there equivalent to this in cultures around the world where people get into cars and race them around actual roads?
Yes, I think they do that everywhere.
Do they really?
I think so.
So they basically close off a load of roads in Ireland and they race cars with stickers on them and go faster stripes.
Yes.
Around the place. And I asked one of the lads at work, because he loves the rally. I said, what did you do? And he goes, I'll show you now. He gets up Google Maps and he shows me Google Maps. And he's like, the car came down here and we were standing up on this mountain here. And it came down and it went, and then it went down this corner and went, down that way. And it was great. And I was like, how long were you doing that? Oh, hours, like. But we bought a flask of tea. And I was like, okay.
I know, it's very popular.
Very popular.
But I am off to a fancy schmancy film premiere tomorrow night. It's Hole in the Ground. Savage Productions. It's just premiered at Sundance.
It's wild and scary. Very well received.
It's Irish premiere, so I'm very excited. I'm going with my friend Heather, who's my business partner in Powerhouse Media West. And we're hitting the red carpet.
Woo!
So I'm very excited to see it. I've heard great things.
There's scary kids in it, you know.
And Steve Wall is in it.
Yes, he is.
Who is a great actor and a great musician and performer.
Yes. He's so known from Moon Boy and also from Irish hip-hop band The Stunning.
The Stunning.
Well, they're a hip-rock band.
They're not really hip-hop.
No.
And it's a great cast.
Hip, as in cool. Like, they're just an Irish rock band who were huge in the 80s and actually brought out an album called Milking the Hits.
Yes.
Where they just released their hit singles.
Just go to YouTube and find The Stunning. You'll love their music.
Yeah, they're really good.
They're really good.
You see, when you're doing the state exams in Ireland, you have to get so many points or whatever, and I think the maximum was 600 at the time when I was doing it, right? I would have got more points in my Leaving Cert if I didn't know all the words of all the Stunning songs
because
off by heart.
So much information could be retained by you at that time.
So much could fit in, and I was so busy learning all the words to all the Stunning songs so I could sing them along when they came on the
radio.
But
that is important, and that is knowledge that has stayed with you all
here
of your life.
As a 21-year-old woman. And I remember all those songs.
That's amazing. Wow, you look great.
I know, formaldehyde. One shot of formaldehyde every day.
Just the one.
None of that Revitalift. Just one shot of formaldehyde a day.
Very good.
Use formaldehyde responsibly.
Will we need formaldehyde after we speak about this documentary perhaps?
Buckle up. Sit down. And, you know, you're probably best to pour yourself a stiff drink. No, do you know what, actually? Pour yourself three stiff drinks because this is ridiculous.
And if you're a non-drinker, you should probably pour like the strongest fruit punch. You can, non-alcoholic, you can get your hands on.
Okay, you go get the raspberry tea.
I will get.
Oh, thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, we're going for it, like.
Fall on.
Yeah. So, Sharita.
Tracy.
This documentary is rocking the world.
This documentary.
Everyone is talking about it. May I please just give you the synopsis? It's two lines from IMDb.
Lads, completely stolen. Straight up, if you're standing up or if you're reaching up high right now, stop what you're doing. This is shocking stuff.
This will rock your world. Abducted in Plain Sight. the twisting, turning, stranger than fiction true story of the Brobergs, a naive, church-going Idaho family that fell under the spell of a sociopathic neighbor with designs on their 12-year-old daughter. Shall we play the trailer?
We shall.
We shall. Okay, get ready for it.
I know it's a...
We're going to have to take showers after this.
Mr. Birchall had such an effervescent, wonderful personality. We became very good friends.
He was so engaged with the kids, too. I mean, he really was fun. And
he could give me a great feeling about myself. I was attracted to him.
Jan Broberg and Robert Birchall had an unnatural relationship.
I loved him as deeply as I've ever loved anyone.
My brother was always a sexual pervert. He always did like his little girls.
Birchall said, I want to take Jan out horseback riding. When she didn't come home, I was a little nervous.
It was a nationwide search.
Jan went with me voluntarily. They bring in aliens and mind-washing.
The mission was that I was to have a child that would save the alien planet by the time I turned 16. The Brobergs say the attacks still continue.
If you're laying a trap for me, I'll kill you.
His number one goal was to seduce Jan Broberg. And if he had to destroy the family, he would do it.
There'll never be anybody for me but Jan. Never.
Scumbag.
Evil.
Lowlife.
Person.
When they're talking about musical theatre, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They say The Sound of Music has got it all. It's got Nazis, it's got nuns, it's got a performing family, it's got singing, dancing kids, it's got everything. Like, you know, this is like The Sound of Music is the ultimate musical theatre, right?
Mm-hmm.
You look at this documentary, it's got two abductions, aliens, an escape to Mexico, and most importantly, the Bikers Against Child Abuse.
But the really, really strange thing, i.e. stranger than fiction, is that it's not fiction.
Yeah. This is actually...
And this happened to a little girl.
And not so long ago. It happened in 72, 73, like between 72 and 75.
You know what? A lot of people around the world
are
completely disturbed now from after watching this. I think they thought it would be, you know, that same light subject matter, or it would touch on something that was unpleasant but wouldn't really delve in, but it delves right in there.
I think one of the scariest things about the story is the way the family tell it. There is no wrong way for a victim to tell a story. There's no wrong way for someone to explain their trauma and what happened to them. They obviously, like, you know, I mean, it was years ago since it occurred, and they were completely naive to it, and I think that they've accepted the fact that really at the time there was very little else that they could have done, whereas, you know, other families might take that very internally and kind of be punishing themselves. The mother is quite gleeful about the fact that she loved and had an affair with this man. And Jan,
oh, I don't know if she was gleeful,
but she's like, oh, I love you. Just her tone of voice, I don't know.
You know what I love about this documentary? You've just hit on a major reason. You alternately are angry with them and then sympathise with them, and then you're angry with them again, and then you're thinking, oh, I can see how they were totally taken advantage of. And
yeah, I mean, I certainly don't want it to come across that I feel, you know, that what they're saying is wrong and the way they're saying is wrong. I just find it very eerie the way that they spoke about what happened to them, but that doesn't mean that there's a right or wrong way to say that.
Well, I think, you know, and I've read a few articles of people talking about what they thought about the documentary, and they're focusing on the parents. I think people should be focusing on the predator in the room.
Absolutely, 100%.
They were set upon by, and there's someone in the documentary that says something like, he was in the trailer and he was saying something like, he didn't care if he tore the family apart.
That was his brother, I think.
Yeah, but it's not that he didn't care if he tore the family apart. He set out to tear the family apart. He very maliciously set upon
this the mother.
The mother first. He set upon the father. He inserted himself into their lives. And then he went for his prey. This was all very calculated.
I just think it's quite terrifying because now, as we speak about it now, and there's been loads of instances where this kind of stuff has happened. Right now, at the moment, there's an awful lot of talk about how you keep your kids safe online.
Online is huge.
It's massive and it's so important.
It's so important.
It's just absolutely...
Parents don't have a clue.
But that wouldn't have been something that would have been conceived of as a threat back when we were growing up. When we were growing up, they had pictures of all the kids. Every year, a magazine would come out of all the kids in the class and their names down beside it. And, you know, I mean, anybody could come in at the end of school and say, Mary, how's it going? Your mum told you that I was going to pick you up today, and you go with them. But that was the way it was. Like, you know, there was just no... Yeah, someone says, I think it's the FBI agent who says, yeah, we knew what stranger danger was, but we didn't know why there was danger. Nobody had really realised the fact that there were predators out there who wanted to have relations, for want of an easier word, with children. And this man was grooming her for years. And not only did he groom her, but he went about grooming the entire family to get her. And just whatever it was, when they met, he was married and he had children. And all the wife, all of his kids, they're all victims too. We don't hear from them in this documentary. They're all victims as well.
And it's important to say that there were many more victims. She wasn't the only child that he targeted.
And it's just so terrifying that it went. So, I mean, we see in the course of the documentary, she's abducted the first time when he's under the auspice of, under the pretense that they're going horse riding. He gives her anti-allergy medication. And then they disappear. And then the very first thing that happens is like nothing.
Yeah, it's Five important days to say later. She was abducted, as the title tells you, more than once.
Yeah.
Under the watchful eye of her family both times.
And like, this was a family friend who said, we're going horse riding, we'll be back later on. They ended up going to Mexico. And there were 5 days gone before there was even reported to the local police.
Yeah.
And rather than reporting it to the state police or the local police, they reported it to the FBI on the fifth day. And this is exactly what the father said, because we might need help to find them.
It's very hard at that point for you to understand. Like, I couldn't understand why they were waiting that long as they were telling the story. But I do want to say it took a lot of guts for them, to be honest.
Yes.
Because they must have known that they were going to come under serious fire if they went public with this, and if they were honest about allowing their little baby daughter, you know, to get into a car and go away and then not chase her for days, hoping it would be okay.
I think that when you have no knowledge of anybody ever having been abducted, and when you have no knowledge of what the threat is, and this isn't a stranger. There's no stranger danger here. This is a family friend. There's nobody there to say, you know, they probably just thought, oh, it's Grant. You know, maybe he just hasn't called or whatever. Or maybe he couldn't get to a payphone. But you can reason your way around this.
You do wonder, though, because if she's gone for days, which means nights.
Yeah.
Would they not wonder where is she sleeping and who is she sleeping with this evening?
I know this might sound ridiculous, but in their defence, like, we've mobile phones. If you say you're going to be back at 3 o'clock and you're not there at 3 o'clock, I get a phone call at 3:30. You know what I mean? Whereas this was the land of, they had no phones. Unless they were near a landline, they wouldn't have been making a phone call. Anything could have happened. They mightn't have had any cash. Do you know what I mean? Maybe there was a small accident. They wouldn't have heard anything. They wouldn't have really been thinking along the lines of that.
We don't know, though. Because then when we move forward and we talk about them, each of them being approached by him in a certain manner, then you think, well, if you knew that he was interested in sex and now he's left with your daughter, why don't alarm bells go off immediately?
Just to explain, what you're really getting there to is like that he had this point before he'd abducted her,
mm-hmm.
had a sexual interaction with both the mother and the father of Jan.
But why? But it wasn't just to have the interaction. Mm-hmm. He wanted blackmail on the family. Mm-hmm. When he made his move with their daughter, he wanted to be able to come back and say, if you go public, I will say...
air the dirty laundry.
Exactly what happened with you.
Yeah.
This guy is a piece of work, was a piece of work.
And he was married. He sent his wife in to say it.
Yeah, his wife is a whole other interesting character.
Gail.
It's so messed up. And I mean, you have to talk about the church's part in all of that, because that enabled... that gave them a little bit of security. It also was part of their reluctance in going public,
mm-hmm.
because they thought, well, we're all members of Latter-day Saints, and why would anyone in our community do this?
Mm-hmm.
But then that, and this is not a new argument, that religious veil then allowed him the freedom to go and molest the child. And we see it happening all over the world.
Unfortunately,
most recently with the Irish scandal, but
Baltimore, you know, they've lifted the...
I've heard that.
Yeah.
So this was a perfect example of how that helped the paedophile.
Second to that.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the moment where I dropped my jaw on the floor.
Tell me.
The aliens. The aliens have landed.
I totally bought that, though. She was an innocent child.
You must complete your mission. But you know why she bought it, in her own words? Because she'd heard that story before, the nativity, her religion. She'd heard it before where, you know, your mother is your mother, but your father is not your father. That's somebody from somewhere else. And she bought it because of her religion.
And she was, you know, in essence, tortured. I mean, she was left in this room with this audio recording telling her that the aliens were coming and she had to copulate with this man and save the world. And in and of itself, it sounds crazy. But when you're a child, you're far away from home. You don't know where your parents are. You don't know where you are. She's probably in darkness.
She was drugged for most of it.
Yeah.
And
it's very Cosby-esque.
But coupled with complete naivety and not understanding the nuances and the sinister nature of, you know, paedophiles and how they go about grooming their victims. When they eventually get her back and they examine her and they see that her hymen is intact, they're like, oh, well, then nothing happened.
That was so dastardly, wasn't it? That was just another major evil element where he was careful not to incriminate himself. And he didn't continue in that manner, but he certainly... covered his tracks. Everything was planned, so scary.
But then at that point, then you've got a situation where you have parents who are told, if you go ahead with these, look, I took your daughter on a vacation, we went away further than we should have, for longer than we should have, and I didn't get in contact, that was a mistake, I'm sorry. A doctor has examined her and said that nothing happened, so don't go ahead with these, this is all blown out of proportion. Don't go ahead with these charges. And if you do go ahead with these charges, I'm going to air your dirty laundry.
Yes.
You can kind of see how at that point they kind of felt a bit pressurized not to, like, to sign the affidavit and just let him off.
There were so many red flags, though, because he wanted to marry her.
That didn't happen until way afterwards.
But I thought he had said it during the first abduction.
No, he said it, but she didn't say. It wasn't mentioned until 2 years later in 76.
He said it to her, though, during the first abduction.
Sorry, he had said it to her. Yes. But she hadn't said it to the parents or anyone else about marriage or the mission or having kids. The way they were talking about this was she was saying it. You know, she was abducted first. I think she was 13. Sorry. And then when she ran away the second time, or she was abducted, essentially, it was 2 years later.
So, you know, when they found them the first time.
Yeah.
She, at that point, he had groomed her enough for her to really think that she was in love with him.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah.
So there were so many red flags.
It's just so, but this woman had never, this young girl, child, had never known what love was to understand that this wasn't what it was.
Yeah. Completely abused.
It's absolutely horrible.
And then when she's returned to her family, she's a different person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Again, a red flag.
Yeah. She's standoffish.
Surely. For parents.
Yeah.
Her siblings talk about it.
Yeah, but her sister was talking about how she just wasn't, she knew there was more going on or whatever. Although her mother was like, oh, she was getting on grand, she was doing okay at school.
See, up until now, this is a terrible story. It's horrendous. It's awful. It happened. She's back with her family. Where it really hits you is that it happens again.
Yeah.
Where it really hits, where it hit for me, where my jaw fell to the floor, wasn't the aliens. It was when he's allowed to go and sleep in her bed as part of his therapy. That's where I went, what?
While he's having sex with the mother.
Yeah.
Like, they have, him and the mother have an 8-month relationship. Really? And in that time, that 8 months when they're together, you know, he's staying with Jan.
Well, he's keeping her close. So he not every Jan night. Closer.
Yeah, but not every night. But I think it was like 4 nights or something.
Four nights a week or something. That's crazy. And they, with the parents' blessing.
Yeah.
So that's where I had a serious issue with the story. But, and I just was terrified and outraged for her that the two people in this world who were supposed to protect her allowed this to happen under their roof.
But it also happened to them. Like the father, I mean, he was talking about having a homosexual relationship with the father. When the father's face, when he's explaining
how... And it was just one instance with the dad, I think.
Well, they say that, but I don't know if it was.
But that's even that is enough to be ashamed of for him. He was ashamed.
Yeah, you could see. Well, he kind of said that he was more ashamed about
wife.
He was very upset about the loss of fidelity, the fidelity vows with his wife,
mm-hmm.
And you could see the genuine pain on his face. And I really felt for him. I really did. She had a completely different kind of reaction when she was telling her story, and she was played. So this guy was so good.
I know.
I mean, so good at being so bad, you know.
Just being vindictive and just... He knew what he was doing. This was all planned in advance.
Oh, it was awful.
You know, none of this happened by accident. It didn't unfold and people reacted to it. They're all played by him from day one.
From day one, yeah. And when you kind of see it laid out, you know, I mean, it's easy for us to stand back and kind of say, this happened and this happened. But, you know, I mean, the second time she ran away, they didn't know where she was. And he was very careful to kind of say that he had nothing to do with her. But he had stashed her away in a boarding school, in a Catholic boarding school in Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
And he had said to them that he was in the CIA and that if anyone would come looking for her, they were the bad guys and that they were to ring him straight away. So if anyone came anywhere near him, you know, he was going to get unreal. A call. He was just so...
And he knew he was being followed and he knew he was being watched.
Yeah, yeah. And like...
The investigator was great.
Yeah, I found he was quite good. And
he warned the parents early on.
Yeah, but you see, they completely disregarded the warnings. Mm. But again, you know, I mean, it would have been very hard. They seem to be quite naive now. But when you go back and you look at it, I mean... I don't know if my parents would have believed that would have happened if it had happened in Banslow. I don't know if anyone, you know, it's just a terrible story. It's a really horrible story.
But it does gets have, worse. Well, okay.
It gets fucking worse. Like, I'm so cross about how that's not even it. Like, lads, honestly. She turns 16 when she the FBI get her back out of the school. She comes back, she turns 16. And she realises the aliens are, like, the story was fake. I've been lied to. The aliens didn't end the world because I didn't get pregnant when I was 16 with this man's child. So this was all just complete lies. And she seems to be okay. Herself and her mother get together and they write a book, Stolen Innocence, the Jan Broberg story. They go around promoting the book and B turns up. And he's like, this is all a pack of lies. This isn't true. So she has to take him to court to get a restraining order.
Yes.
So this poor woman finds herself in a situation, and of course it's recorded, where she's sitting about a metre and a half away from her abuser in court in front of a judge.
But this is great. I don't think this is bad. This was amazing. That she, her strength was incredible.
I know, it's awful though she had to do that.
But she did it.
She did do it. She did do it. She's resilient, this woman. She's amazing.
Well, she was incredible. That was, for me, that was the up.
But I was furious because he's like, oh, and you're trying to sell a book with all this lies. And she's like, oh, and you've written a book about this. As if he was like trying to get some of the money. Because like, I'm the one who did all this stuff. I should be getting the book. You know, like, I should be getting the book.
But that will give you some idea into the an insight into his mind and how he, just his crazy. Ego works. And you left out the bikers.
The bikers! So basically, he comes out from one of these meetings or whatever. And in 2005, he meets up with the bikers against child abuse.
Well, they're protecting her at these readings.
I think there should be a spin-off documentary about the bikers against child abuse.
I bet there is one. If there isn't, there should be.
This is gas. So they turn up and they deliberately turn up outside this to sort out your man, right? They get in a row and he ends up, B, ends up getting charged with 3 felonies and 2 misdemeanors after the fight. But unfortunately, he didn't go to jail.
No.
Because he successfully completed suicide.
Yes, he did. He was not going to jail.
I would have preferred to see him go to jail.
I know. I think a lot of people would have preferred that. But he didn't have the balls to do that.
Because just to say, and I left it out earlier on, he was charged with first degree kidnapping. But he didn't get convicted or found guilty of it. He was given, like, you know, he had to go to a mental institution. He was out in 6 months after he was basically after they found Jan in the Catholic school.
You know, he didn't ruin her life because she is a survivor.
Absolutely.
But he definitely took her childhood, her innocence. He did
everything he could.
He did that though to more than one person. There's a string of victims.
Yeah, I think that he did everything he could to. He did everything he could to get to ruin her life, to make her completely dependent on him, because that's
he was fixated.
What he wanted.
Yeah.
Completely fixated. And he only had a short time span and there was this ticking clock element to it. And, you know, I mean, he was a very dangerous and evil man. And if this happened in today's society, I would like to think that he would be severely punished.
Well, also, and you touched on the online exploitation of children earlier, mm-hmm. but at least there's an upside and a downside to all of that. The downside is that children are contactable by predators in your home, in their bedrooms, on their phones. Parents think that they're on top of it. They're not. Mm-hmm. They can get around any kind of firewalls.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the bad side of it. The good side of it is that we've come so far that if those types of behaviours were being displayed to a family now, we're a little bit more aware.
We're a bit more savvy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we call out people like that. And they don't get away with it, doing it in plain sight anymore. But they've gone underground and they're on the internet.
Yeah. And I have to say as well, like, this happened in the mid-70s to late-70s. The church scandals in Ireland, some of that was happening in the late 80s into the 90s. So really, as a society, we can't really turn around and point the finger at them and say they were so naive. Anyone who was in a position of authority, you would have believed what he was saying.
I still don't think I would. But then my mother would have given me severe warnings when I was little. So I remember her telling me, you know, the same, stranger danger, but don't get in the car. If someone stops the car to give you a lift, never get in the car. And I said, okay. And then one day I'm walking home from school and this car pulls up beside me. And this man opened the door of the car and said, I'll give you a lift home. And I could see my house from where I was. And he said, no, 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 go on, I'm a friend of your mother's, whatever. And I just turned and ran.
Mm.
But he was definitely not a friend of my mother's.
No way!
Yeah.
Oh my God, Tracy.
I was that close. He couldn't grab me because I was like slightly beyond his reach. But I could see my house. I can see exactly when I'm thinking about it now. I can see where I was standing.
Oh girl, no.
Yeah.
I think when I started watching My Favourite Murder first.
Yes. Great podcast.
When I started listening to My Favourite Murder first.
When you were listening and watching it in
and
your mind's
in
eye.
In my mind's eye, yes.
Great podcast.
Become very aware, I suppose, of just, you know, that whole thing about it, like, the more you learn about how other women escaped these these tragedies and these bad situations and people being badass and stuff, it makes you more equipped or whatever. But my mother was telling me real casually about how, oh, met this lad in town and I hadn't seen him in years, but he offered me a lift home. And I was like, you did not get into the car. And she's like, no, I didn't. I was like, you did not get it. And I was just thinking the complete role reversing. You know what I mean? Because somebody had offered her a lift. She hadn't seen them in 20 years. They grew up together. They knew each other really, really well. But I still wouldn't get into the car with them.
No.
Whereas my mother and him would have grown up in a society where it was like, I know, sure, Jason's, I know his whole family. He only lives down the road. Like, he couldn't get, you know, what would happen, you know?
So. Err on the side of caution. Walk home.
Yeah. Like, obviously nothing happened. He was like a nice man.
But
you know, but I just wouldn't, I wouldn't do that kind of thing. No. It's just there's some things that our generation are even more cautious about.
And that's a good thing.
Than their parents would be. Yeah, yeah.
But that's why sexual predators online are getting away with it so much now, because the parents can't imagine this is happening upstairs. Yeah. It's a similar story to this. You know, oh, he's just taking her for a horse ride. You know, no, he's not. But yeah. What else could be happening? Whereas that's happening right now. Parents are saying, oh, no, but they're just on... they're just on YouTube. It's fine. It's
stop, you're YouTube. Freaking out all the parents.
Freak out parents a little bit more. That's what you need to do.
Well, if anything is going to scare you to death and make you reconsider any of the choices you've ever made or any leniency you've ever given to any of your daughters.
Or any of the children in your life, your nieces, your nephews.
Yeah.
Watch this. Watch this documentary. It's an important one to watch, I think, because you really can't believe that it happened. And it's a great talking point, and it is just one of those oh my god documentaries, and it's rare that you come across those.
Yeah, it's rare that you come across this. I mean, we had said this before, it's like sometimes you watch a documentary and you go in the middle of
I love
it's
that.
Rare when that happens, but this documentary is like
no, oh my god. Yeah.
So what I would say to you though,
yes,
is that if you are going to watch this, it's really good to watch it with a group of people and not just watch it on your own.
I'm against because it.
You are so like, this is nuts. Ash, stop. Where are you going? Like, you want to talk to somebody.
But I like that, because we're very different like that. You like watching movies with people. I do not. I'm just like, stop talking. But no, I would just want all of my attention to be on this. I wouldn't want to miss a frame of it, because it does, it's a wow story. It really is. But you know what, and a good turning point was number one with her, and the way that she stood up to him was like a yes moment. And then also the fact that despite everything, their family survived.
Yeah, no, they're a great family. Closer than ever. They seem to be...
That's amazing. That's admirable.
That's quite amazing.
There's obviously deep love there for each of them for each other.
And respect, you know, and like it's terrible that it did have to happen to them, but it seems to have made them all individually stronger and collectively invincible. If you like this,
you will love the Elizabeth Smart story. And there's a new one. There are lots of Elizabeth Smart documentaries, but there's a new one that was out, but it's brand new, and she speaks for the first time. She was abducted. So that's an amazing story. Probably like anything to do with the JonBenet Ramsey case.
JonBenet Ramsey.
That beautiful little girl.
Even Flossie like that.
But there's a new documentary on that as well. So
is there?
Yeah, there is. Well, fairly new, maybe about 4 months ago.
Oh, I must watch that.
You must watch that.
Yeah, because it's always breaking news in that case.
Yeah.
It's very strange. Very strange.
Those are my two additions to the If You Like This, You'd Like.
Well, fair play.
Thank you.
I don't have anyone this week, so.
That's okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a horrible story.
It's a horrible story.
It's a good documentary.
It's a good documentary. Yeah. You will want to talk about it after you watch it.
Which is just
the sign of a good documentary.
Yeah. A very good sign.
Yeah. And tell us.
Send us emails and
comments and things.
Oh my god. So I believe that we have some good news with stats.
We do, Sherita.
Bum bum bum.
We have amazing news with the stats.
Okay.
Guess what for this week? Back to the top again for some reason, Wellington, New Zealand.
I like Wellington, New Zealand.
We have to go to Wellington and do an episode.
We could do a live show. What would we talk about?
Documentaries!
Bada.
And second...
What?
for the first time, amazing, Austin, Texas.
Austin?
Austin, Texas. That's number two.
That's random. Texas kind of likes us.
Just kind of does.
Austin.
And number three,
mm-hmm.
for the first time in Ireland, I don't know why, we have Cork City.
Flossie likes Cork.
Flossie likes Cork. She's ready to say Ka-tack. Goodbye, see you.
All right.
Mm. So it's a good week all around, and a big hi to Wellington.
Hi, listeners all over the world. That's amazing, Wellington.
I know.
And Cork.
Yeah.
The real capital of Ireland.
Mm-hmm. So thank you for listening. Well done, us. A little raspberry tea, perhaps, perchance.
Yes, indeed.
Well, Sherita, I'm Tracy Ferguson.
And I'm Sherita Darcy.
And goodbye.
See you. We'll be right back.